before the last day, before the day of his departure. This is about returning back to India, day of departure. Still, his Lord has asked him for some last parting advice. And he saw the same poetry. He said, Mura, be as ocean. Go under from water. I feel Shihabuddin for Wadi Ahmad Mari to make the advices. So he lived so long with him, and he summed the entire stay into two things. He stayed so long, but the net sum, what he acquired in this whole stay, was these two things. I was explaining this to one American. Yusuf, you remember? What with me? Kapil, yeah, Yusuf Kapil. His brother was Dawood. Formerly David, then Dawood. The small story of this David Babel, Dawood. So we understood that he's coming from a little bit of a modern background, coming from LA, a modern background. So I told Mullah Salim, take him a bit to town, and maybe he doesn't like our food. So some takeaway, burgers, etc. So he took him for that food and all that. Then he took him to the beachfront. There's some daily news reporters spotted him. I knew this person here, David Kapil. Yeah. So, the Times magazine, you know, Times magazine. On this person here, after this incident, they took out about a 6-page article. We didn't know who he was. So he was an international celebrity. What he was, stand-up comedian. So aise log bhi a jaate hain. You don't know who you're working with. Maybe someone. Then he was supposed to live for stay here for another 2 days. He said, "No, the people that I work with, they're calling me the show on, but performing there. So the show is going to be $100 million. I said, "How much do you get?" So after every, this person has to get so much, that person, so I'll be left with about $35 million. So anyway. Dunya ki chakkar. So I was explaining this whole poetry to this American. So the American said, "Why don't say it like this, man? Treat yourself with suspect and treat others with respect." Now they came up with that English language, but we'll have to make hijjamari, you know, how to get the right phrase. Now they came up with the language, so in one shot, one stroke, he said, "You treat yourself with suspect at any given time and treat others with respect." Ibn Atha Iskandari, rahmatullah alayh, he is now around the 6th century. So in that zamana, all were unanimous that there isn't a person like him. A lot of people saw the beast or something, whatever else. So this Ikmal al-Shiyam is his kitab. There's more on article there. So every article is a gem. Since people generally attribute perfection to some type of an experience. You have an experience, then you attribute it as a thing of perfection. Like you saw a dream, great dream you saw, or you saw some light, or you just made dua and immediately you were accepted. Or something strange, something supernatural happened, and you witnessed this whole thing, so you consider it as an achievement. So that's not the achievement. Now, wanting to know what he will count as an achievement. So the achievement is you get to know your mistakes. The more you get to know your weaknesses, the more you're on the progress, the more you're more on the rise. And this thing here, there is a fear that you can fall down this thing here. Some experience, some dream, some light, some dua getting answered, and that thing can get into your head, and you can get into pride, boastfulness, get bloated. So the greater thing is that you begin to realize your mistakes, your weaknesses. That's the achievement. So at no time must you free yourself of introspecting. Keep checking the niyat is right, am I behaving right? Is there any element of ostentation, show, pride? So you're going to check yourself all the time. You are in this earth, you're in a place of pollution. The earth is polluted, right? So this pollution is going to come to you. The mind, your behavior, in your ways, your mannerism, when it comes, and all the time you just clean it out, fine comb it, take it out. And when I look into the lives of our elders, not boastfully, but from what I've seen, I found them to be the best reflection of the Sahaba Kiram. Can't say that they were Sahaba Kiram, but if you look at modesty, if you look at humility, then they were it. Look at Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, right? The discussion is about Hayatul Nabi, our belief, Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat. The belief is that all the Anbiya are alive. So how that life goes, that Allah knows, but this is the belief that they are alive. Like how we are alive, they are alive. In fact, the life that they enjoy is of a higher level than the life that we are going to, higher quality. But how exactly it happens, that Allah knows. But our belief is that they are alive. So, as he's discussing this, the students are asking questions. He was the biggest group in the Masjid an-Nabawi, ala sahibiha wa alayhi salam. Arabs from all countries used to flock to him. Imagine he's an Indian, conducting a lesson of hadith in the masjid, very advanced classes, and he's got the biggest group. So they're firing the questions one after the other, and then suddenly he just looks in the direction of the Rosa Mubarak. And they, all of them witness that everything is cleared, it's an open field, and Rasulullah is seated. Now he asked him, now you have any questions? So we saw it now, what's the need to ask? But now this same man, this happened on the one side, now look at his life on the other side. He's busy teaching, he was the biggest guru. And all influential people of all countries, they are flocking to him. They want to be learning under him. Around the time his father is building his own house in Madinah Munawwara, father will send a message, I need something. Like how when you're building, you need cement, stone, brick force, something, wheelbarrow, something you need. Now he's delivering a class at a very high level, above the normal level. That is the caliber of students that are with him. And this is the message the father is giving. So, without a frown, or showing any sign of disapproval, get up nicely with a smile. The building material that the father wants, you go and carry it himself with cement, or whatever, he'll carry it himself, see that his father is comfortable, and then return. So, if he's excelling on this side, then he's an example of humility. He's an example of tawadu. He's an example of simplicity. You can count on him. You just see him. On one end, you see this thing happening, and then on the other end, you see this level of simplicity. So these examples of simplicity, you know, when we look at it like as though it ends up with him, at such a level. He's traveling, and the Quran actually says, "Wasahibu bil jam." Your traveling companion, you should be considerate to him as well. Plane or train or bus or kumbi or however, whatever the mode of transport, but it's your companion that is traveling with you, so you must be kind to him as well. So now it's a non-Muslim, it's a Hindu, it's traveling in the same apartment. Murad discovers that the toilets are in a state, really filthy. So immediately he takes out his kurta, hangs it on one side, goes into the toilet, cleans it up, finds some paper here, or cigarette, you know, boxes and all that, cleans it up, crisp, clean, nice, with his own Mubarak hands. And then he comes to that cleaner and says, you know, now the toilet is clean, you go visit the toilet. So on the one side, if he's excelling, then he's also an example for us to emulate in humility. Humility, kindness. Around the time when they're going through financial constraints, father, the whole home is going under financial constraints. They are about 7 or 8 brothers, all of them. And he's about the eldest or the second eldest. So the food is also rationed so much to each person. Now the younger brother, he's crying that it's not sufficient for me. Mullah will give his entire share to his brother. Although he's got such a heavy schedule, he needs that energy, right? And this child is crying, it's his brother, he's finished his ration. But he won't blink an eye giving it, turning it. See that you treat yourself with suspect and you will treat others with respect. So this lesson of humility was like a must in our elders. You have to break the pride. The pride, the ego, that has to break. It's one way or the other. If you want to progress, you want to go up, that has to. The more you're going to break this, the more Allah Ta'ala will elevate you. This whole thing works like a seesaw. You know? The more you press down, the more the other side goes up. So as you press down in humility, then you get elevated. They saw Umar radiallahu anhu, and he's the Khalifa, Amir al-Mu'min. And he's so powerful at the time that the Kuffar would hear his name and the Pisab would come out. You know? He was so mighty. Mighty, awe, and everything else. But now, if there is some poor person, traveler or something, and he's coming to Medina Munawara, he is making it a point to go and see if there's any person needy, any person requires help. He discovers there's someone that's needy, someone needs the help. He's carrying the atta, the flour, etc. on his own back, whatever is required, his own hands, walking about approximately 1.5 kilometers out of Makkah, Medina Munawara, passing it on to them, and then coming back. Now that's, I say, the reflection of the Sahaba. Sahaba, this is the reflection of the Sahaba. If a camel of the Baytul Mal if the thing is getting disappeared somewhere, he is going after it. I say, see, I am Amir, I am responsible for it. So I need to go and look after this thing. See that mind, the sense of responsibility, the humility. He is going to conquer Baitul Muqaddas. As he's going, he's approaching Baitul Muqaddas. So, on that side, at that time, Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah was the leader of the army at the time, army general. So, Umar radiallahu anhu is dressed up in a cloth, approximately 14 patches. And some of those patches are of different colors. That's the type of clothing that he's wearing. Riding upon a mule, and this is the type of cloth that he's wearing. And he's sharing the mule with his slave. With an equal distance that he travels, the slave travels. He's traveling, if it's 3 kilometers, then the slave travels the same. So same, he's treating him equally. Here is the Amir, here is the slave. And no third person, no blue cars in front, blue cars in behind, no entourage. Just one person. Amir meaning is traveling from Medina Munawwara right to Baitul Muqaddas, and this is how they are traveling. So, Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiyallahu, he suggested to Umar radiyallahu, you know, if you just change your garb, it will have an impact on the people here. So this type of simple clothing, and they may just mistake the whole situation. They won't have that level of honor and that type of respect for Islam. So just change your apparel, put some more decent clothes, there's a jubba, there's a thing here, and there's a birzon. The birzon, like a very high quality horse, you know, steed, but of the highest quality at that time. Mount on this thing. Now in Islam, it's also etiquette that we keep our brethren happy. Just to keep him happy, he rode, and he got off straight away. He says, no, I jumped on this thing here, I found a change in my heart. Bring me my clothing, and bring me my mount. And then he says to Abu Ubaidah, if there was anybody else besides yourself that was suggesting like this, I would have disciplined him. That is the point where he says, we are a people, azanallahu bil Islam. Allah Ta'ala elevated us because of Islam. Not because of this show, not of the clothing, not the superior transport, etc. Not because of that. It's because of Islam that Allah has honored us, otherwise we are the doldrums. That's where we were. And just because of Islam, Allah Ta'ala elevated us. Now you're going to look for respect and honor elsewhere. In your clothing, in your finance, in your technology, in whatever else, you will look for respect there. Azallana Allah. Allah Ta'ala will disgrace you. So, as we stand, I don't think there's anybody wealthier than the Muslim, right? If you look at the Muslim globally, then there's nobody wealthier than them. All the oil wells are with them. Now, if you look at Afghanistan, and the mines that what they've got there, the oil they've got, the resources they got, that is something else. One person is returned, he's telling me, just the iron resources, steel resources they got there, is about 25 billion tons. 25 billion they discovered. But they are looking for the equipment now to pull this thing out. But the resources they have got. So, Umar radiallahu anhu is cautioning that this respect that we got is not because the clothing, the wealth, the resources, high tech, high living, all that. Not because of that. And I say, if the respect lies in that, I don't see anybody wealthy as a Muslim, affluent as a Muslim. In this country or any other country, you don't find anybody as wealthy, right? But then why aren't we seen at, why aren't we looked at with respect? He's giving you the whole reason that if you want to take any other path besides that path, besides Islam, the pure, undiluted culture, the way, if you want to take any path, Allah Pak is going to discourage you. Then the West will manipulate you as they want. They manipulate you. See, our women, they work. They go out into offices. Your women must do the same. Our women go to school. So your women also must go to school. Our women become professional persons. So you must also do the same. So you'll find all the reason, even for the hadith, to show, no, it's right, you can do it. Because Mr. Jack is doing it, so our women must do it. Our women drive in the roads, so you all must do it. So now who became the Imam? And who became the Muqtadi? Who's the follower now? We're doing it, so you must do it. We dress like this, so you must dress like that. So you'll see that from a child to an adult, he will feel it, he'll feel a sense of dignity if he's wearing a branded cloth. Reebok. This is not a sheep here. That's how we'll talk. Their transport, their cars, whatever they hold in esteem, now we begin to hold the same thing in esteem. I see, we are on cause. Now we're wondering now why we're getting smashed down on every end. This end we're getting smashed down, there we're getting smashed down, we're getting hit down here, we're getting hit down here. So Umar Adi already foretold. If you want to take any other cause, you're going to get smashed down. You'll have to come back, whether you like it or not. You'll have to come back. But he's traveling now, look at it, he's traveling and there's approximately 14 patches. There's a stream that they have to cross, but Umar radiallahu anhu removes his shoe and his khufain and he's going barefoot to the stream. Going from Medina Munawwara, imagine, right to Bayt al-Muqaddas, this is how they're traveling. Those people in Bayt al-Muqaddas, Christians are in control at the time of the Bayt al-Muqaddas, or it is the Jew that is in control. So their demand was, if the Amir al-Mu'min comes in person, we'll surrender the keys. Because this is what is predicted in our books. So they sent a Sahabi that had similar features, whether it was Khalid radiallahu anhu or someone else, but more or less the same features. So they looked at him and they looked at the scriptures, more or less the same. Our scriptures give the same description. What's the name, by the way? Khalid, no. Something is missing. The description is the same, but the name is not right. So Umar radiallahu anhu says, there was a mashwara in Medina, and the mashwara decided that avoid the war. Jihad is not bloodshed. We think jihad is bloodshed now. Jihad is just to remove the obstacles on the road. It is justice that we are talking about. It is truth that we are talking about. And if someone is coming on the path of truth and justice, then we have to remove the obstacles from the road. Otherwise, how do you expect truth and justice to prevail? Now look at any country. You've got the affluence, you've got the influence, and then the judgment is in your favor. Look anywhere in the world. You can do the worst crime, right? But you've got the affluence, you've got the influence, and judgment is passed. So there's no justice. So the only religion that's got this justice and got the truth is Islam. And then people are blocking this thing here. So Umar said, we're not going for bloodshed. Why are we going? To see that the word of Allah Ta'ala is exalted. That's what we're going for. So now, at length, Umar radiallahu anhu reaches the place. Again, they're looking, ask for the name. Name is consistent, exactly. Description, name, everything is right. Now, with tears streaming down the eyes, they surrender the keys, as though they are seeing the Old Testament being revealed. This is the scripture, this is the wording, and we're seeing it alive, and seeing it before us. And no clothing. Clothing is a patched cloth. The mode of transport is a mule, and they're coming, arriving in this manner. This, then what is the thing that's impressing them? See in Badr, and in other campaigns, what Allah Pak says, وَقَذَفَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الرُّعْبِ. Allah Ta'ala filled their hearts with fear and with awe, right? Now, if you were to come with artillery and whatever else, their hearts are not going to be affected. If the heart is going to be affected, it is because of what level of fear you got, what level of the level of taqwa you've got, righteousness you've got. How committed, how loyal are you to Allah Ta'ala? You are loyal to Allah Ta'ala, it shakes them out. But if you are unloyal to Allah Ta'ala, then no matter what you've got, it doesn't move them at all. So the missing element is this. Our commitment, our loyalty. How much do we give it? Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, his story was read a few days ago. So he is the conqueror of whole Iraq and Iran and Kufa and all these places, right? He's so powerful, right? But then his personal life is such, hardly any food to eat. He found some scrap skin or something, an animal, and he burned the thing and said, yeah, 3 din ka khana ka intizam ho gaya. 3 days I'll eat. But you see the simplicity, the halal that they're eating, and then the power they got. Here, they're fighting an army, Iranian and Iraqi elephants. And they just marched over there. Then the Iranians heard about them, coming with just 3,000 against 1,000,000, started laughing. But when they came into the field, they had to run for their lives. So what was it? وَقَذَفَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ. So Allah fills their hearts with fear, with awe. But that awe comes when you are in awe of Allah Ta'ala. To the extent that you are in awe of Allah Ta'ala, that will affect that person's heart. But you don't have the fear of Allah Ta'ala, and you want to show all these things here, you say, we also got the same thing. If you got these things, you got the same thing, it will match you. So the difference between you and them is, do you have the awe of Allah Ta'ala, the fear of Allah Ta'ala, or you don't have it? If you have it, then you're marching, you're progressing. And you don't have it, and the right thing is by learn to have it. So what we're talking about is this humility. فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّرُونَ. Someone was speaking just now, that Durban is being hit, you know. First the COVID, then the looting, then the flooding, right? But in all that, Allah is saying, what is teaching us? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. You learn the lesson of humility. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. Become humble. Humble yourself. نَعْبُوا غِرْغِرَعُ. Before Allah Ta'ala's presence, His greatness, His majesty, His magnanimity, you lower yourself. You know, you're going to remain the same, and you want to attract the attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's a far-fetched dream. It's not going to happen. Like I said, when this flooding took place in the Crab City, so I just smiled, I just said, hey, now what's going to happen? That Crab City, the houses are going to go very cheap. Because people are going to be reasoning like this, Sa'awi ila al-Jabal, will go to a higher place, يَعْسِمُنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ, that will protect us. لَا عَاسِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِيمٌ. What you're supposed to be looking at is the avenues that you can gain the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. How you can attract the mercy of Allah, that's it you're supposed to be looking at. Not high and low, right? But high and low is not going to be the solution. Whether here, whether elsewhere, you're supposed to be struck, you'll be struck. The people of Hud, alayhi salam, when they were struck with droughts, etc., animals dying, all that. So they send one delegation to Makkah Mukarramah. They send a delegation to Makkah Mukarramah. Right? Goes to the Kaaba Sharif and they go there. Musa alayhi salam told them, why? What the right thing is, you correct yourself, humble yourself, rectify yourself. You rectify yourself, Allah Ta'ala will bring about favorable conditions. But now they say, no, we'll go for Umrah, we'll do this, we'll sort things out. But that's not the solution. The solution is get yourself right. In the meanwhile, there's a drought here. This delegation is passing through Taif. As they went to Taif, the people of Taif got to know them, recognize them. So they started showing them hospitality because it's a delegation, high profile. Dancing women, singing, wine, everything is being served. So 1 day passed, 2 days passed, a couple of days passed. Now these people are wondering, why your people are struck with famine, drought and all that, and you all are celebrating. Kuch akal bhi hai, or some brains. So one girl, one of the singing girls, she sang, hey, this delegation is extremely strange. On that end, your people are dying, there you're celebrating and merrymaking. What's happened to you? So suddenly, they came out from the stupor, they realized that something was right, so they moved on. Came to the Kaaba Sharif, till that point they are safe. But the moment they step off the haram, the punishment that struck their people struck this people here. So, if you have broken the law of Allah Ta'ala, no matter where you are, here or there, in the Cape or the Gabe, wherever, you're going to get struck. You don't think now, Cape Town, go here and all that and be safe. Wherever you are, that what was destined will catch you. So the right thing is correct yourself. قَلُوْ لَا كَانَتْ قَرْيَةٌ آمَنَتْ فَنَفَعَهَا إِمَانُهَا إِلَّا قَوْمَ يُنُسِ. The only exception was the people of Yunus alayhi salam, right? قَلُوْ لَا كَانَتْ قَرْيَةٌ آمَنَتْ فَنَفَعَهَا إِمَانُهَا إِلَّا قَوْمَ يُنُسِ لَمَّا آمَنُوا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمْ عَذَابُ الْخِزْيِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. So, these people were warned, within 3 days or so, punishment is going to come. And now, 1 day passed, 2nd day, they were gripped with fear. Yunus alayhi salam said this, something is going to happen. So, now they got shaken up, and they began to see some things. They couldn't see the punishment yet. But the skies are changing a little bit. So, straight away they said, without any hesitation, they all, men, women, children, went with all Haitian cloth, simplicity, went into sajda and started crying. Lamma amaru, when they humble themselves, the idea is humble yourself, belittle yourself, humble yourself, come to the right. Nobody at this moment is thinking, I am right, this fool is a gunega. He is taking interest, and he's robbing, and he's a drunkard. Because of him, all this is happening. If all of us think, we all did some baggages, and that baggages have to be corrected. Every person thinks that. Inshallah, this will attract the attention of Allah Ta'ala. But each one thinks, I'm gunegar, and I need to correct myself. I make istighfar, tawbah. Sometimes I've forgotten, sometimes it is something that is very discreet, very subtle. I don't know about it. I'm doing it, but I don't know about it. So I need to correct myself. Allah Ta'ala.